If you listened to the podcast yesterday, you would know that today's post was supposed to be about everything I know about cooking bacon. But earlier this morning, while I was laying in bed, halfway between being awake and being asleep, I realized that I had recently written about bacon. And when I woke up, I checked, and I did write about bacon. If you listened to the podcast yesterday, you would know that today's post was supposed to be about everything I know about cooking bacon. Well, early this morning, while I was laying in bed, halfway between being awake and being asleep, I realized that I had recently written about bacon. When I woke up, I checked, and I had, in a post called Getting to Know Bacon. It was probably about a month ago. So if you want to know everything you can possibly know about bacon, go check that out. Today, rather than talk about everything I know about bacon, I decided I would talk about an ingredient that we could all stand to use a little bit more. So I'm Chef Ben, this is Food in 5, and today I'm talking about everything I know about eggplant. So what is an eggplant? Eggplant is technically a berry and is a member of the nightshade family. Along with tomatoes and potatoes, it is commonly believed to have been first cultivated in India about 4,000 years ago. The whole eggplant is edible, skin, seeds, everything. However, it is suggested that you shouldn't really eat eggplant raw, just like with potato. And though the eggplants we most recognize are egg-shaped and deep purple in color, there are many different varieties. Some are long and skinny, while some are small and round, some are white, some are green, others are striped. This is all to say that there are a lot of varieties of eggplant out there. Eggplant, or aubergine as it's called in Europe, is not particularly good for you. That's not to say it's bad for you, it's just not loaded with nutrients like some other foods. Its benefit is its sponge-like texture that allows it to soak up flavors from sauces, oils, and other ingredients. Buying eggplant. When buying eggplant, you're looking for one with no bruising or marks. You want the flesh to be firm all over. Check the tops and bottoms particularly for soft spots. Different ways to cook eggplant. Eggplant is used by many different cultures around the world. People from all over Europe, Africa, and Asia use eggplant and have historically for generations. Because it is used by so many diverse cultures, there are countless ways to prepare it. Commonly, eggplant can be baked, roasted, stir-fried, deep-fried, grilled, or even stewed. When cooked, eggplant often becomes soggy and soft. However, there is a way to avoid this and get a firm textured eggplant. This is good when the eggplant will be breaded and deep fried or in any application where a firm texture would be preferable to a soft texture. The technique for getting firm textured eggplant is pretty straightforward. Cut the eggplant into evenly sized pieces, season heavily with salt, let sit in a strainer for about 30 minutes, rinse the eggplant well under cold running water, pat dry with a paper towel, and use as desired. The salting technique works by drawing moisture out of the eggplant. This firms up the flesh and prevents it from turning to mush. Salting has the added benefit of removing some of the bitter flavor that can be associated with eggplant. My favorite ways to have eggplant. If I had to choose, I would say that I have two favorite eggplant dishes. One is very, very simple. The other, though not complicated, takes a bit of time. However, it yields such a delicious end result. Eggplant Parmesan. Eggplant parm is kind of like a lasagna, but instead of pasta, breaded and fried eggplant pieces are used between the layers. Usually eggplant parm doesn't have any meat in it either. Now to make eggplant parmesan, the eggplant is cut into rounds or long thin pieces and salted, left to sit for 30 minutes and then rinsed, drained, and patted dry. Then the eggplant is dusted with flour, seasoned with salt and pepper, coated in beaten egg, and then tossed in breadcrumbs. The breaded eggplant pieces are then fried in a pan or deep fried. Once the eggplant has been fried, it is layered in a casserole dish with tomato sauce and cheese, then baked in the oven on 375 for about 40 minutes. This is a very Italian dish that is often overlooked. And if you've never had it, I highly recommend giving it a try. Serve it with some salad, some garlic bread, whatever you want to do. Fire roasted eggplant. My second favorite preparation of eggplant is about as easy as cooking can get, and understand that I don't use the word easy lightly here. To make this dish, one whole eggplant is put over an open fire. Every 10 to 15 minutes, it is rotated. It's cooked like this until it starts to collapse in on itself, which will take about 40 minutes. Once the eggplant is cooked, it's cut into and drizzled with olive oil, seasoned with salt and pepper, and eaten with pita bread or a spoon. This eggplant can be garnished with yogurt or pomegranate seeds, tahini, parsley, and garlic, or anything else that you can possibly imagine. What I love about this preparation is it is really simple to do. You're literally just taking a whole eggplant, putting it over a fire. You can do it on a barbecue or whatever. You could even do it in the oven on really high heat if you wanted to. The eggplant pretty much liquefies and gets really sweet from roasting. And the fact that you can garnish it however you want is an added bonus. Conclusion. Eggplant is another one of those ingredients that we all walk by every day in the grocery store but rarely pick up. For me, it's an ingredient I hardly ever think about, but when I eat it, I'm always like, oh yeah, this is delicious, why don't I eat more of this? Then I forget about it again. I think it's definitely time that we all take a second to look at eggplant and discover why the rest of the world loves it so much. Now before I go here, I just have a quick announcement to make, and I talked about this a little bit yesterday. Earlier this week, I launched a How to Not Burn Shit store, which is on howtonotburnshit.com. And you can check it out just by going to the website and clicking on the shop or store link. Now, right now, there's only a few items. There's a food in five mug, a food in five shopping bag, and a fridge magnet that has some valuable information on it. All the proceeds from that stuff goes to help make the website better, make the podcast better. So if you enjoy the site or the podcast, you want to be a part of helping it grow and improve, you can do so by buying a mug or a magnet or whatever. And if you don't want either of those things, but you still want to be a part of the future of the site and the podcast and the Facebook Live show, you can become a patron at patreon.com/BenKellyCooks, patreon.com/BenKellyCooks. What Patreon is basically like a subscription site. So for as little as $1 a month or as much as $50 a month, you can help me help people learn to cook and like help me share information. And all that money goes directly to me, except for I think 10% goes to Patreon. And then I use that money to improve the quality of the website, improve the quality of the Facebook Live show, improve the quality of the podcast, all that stuff. And again, that's patreon.com/BenKellyCooks. And there's also all kinds of member benefits in there as well, like discounts in the store. There's a monthly membership recipe booklet that comes out. There's all kinds of stuff. And on the higher end, just go check it out, patreon.com/BenKellyCooks. And for those of you that just love the podcast or the website or whatever, and you can't spare $5, I get it. I understand completely. And just the fact that you listen and support it means the world to me. So thank you so much for that. I hope that you all have a fantastic weekend. I am going out of town today for a dinner tonight, and then I have stuff all weekend, so I'm pretty busy this weekend. I hope that you are too. I'll see you on Monday, everybody. Thanks again. See you later.